absolutely nothing to deserve this.
That's right.
No, we yeah. haven't. We are your basketball team. I'm your basketball coach. And we're kicking ass.
We're back.
Who is we?
We being Larkin and Jay Hizzy back.
Man, I think we're going to have to start the introductions all over again. I'm not sure people are going to remember us.
Jeez, it's been a month.
It has been a while.
It's been a month. We are back, though, and we're going to try to continue this on here for the new year. Of course, it's kind of appropriate with recruiting coming up. We've got basketball, the exciting UT basketball, your 19th and 20th ranked Tennessee Volunteers.
Man, every time I hear that Bruce Pearl clip, it gets me fired up.
Bruce Pearl gets me fired up regardless.
I mean, you know, can you imagine Fulmer walking into, going down the Vol Walk and yelling at the fans, going, I am your football coach and we're going to kick Florida's ass.
Maybe that's what he needs to do.
He might need to. He might need to do that.
Well, guys, we're back in action, and we're looking forward to a good show. Unfortunately, one of our better shows we ended up losing last time, so hopefully we won't do this do that again. And this is it. This is Get Involved. And so we've got a lot of stuff talked about. And as we always start off, let's get going with our quick hits. I wanted to kind of just go a little bit of the round table Vol talk. Randy Sanders to Kentucky. Wow.
Yeah, that's there's been some conversation on Vol Nation this week about who got the better end of that deal. Because we basically traded Roper for Sanders.
Right.
So
now, my question is how Bush League is that?
Well,
I mean,
we're picking up coaches from Ole Miss and Kentucky.
He's gonna go over there and coach quarterbacks, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, I just don't know what to think. I mean, is Roper a good coach? I mean, you know, I never even heard of the guy.
He's got some ties. We read an article today that somebody posted about, his dad was a big football coach and a football mind, and apparently he's been around football a lot. So,
well, he 1996-98 seasons, he was a graduate assistant.
Right.
So, I mean, he does have Tennessee ties. I guess my thing is that why couldn't we go out there and at least we got our coaches right? You know, before it was Trooper Taylor coming in coaching running backs. He's a wide receivers coach. He's going back to, you know, where he needs to be. And maybe that's a little bit of a shake up what they need. I mean, obviously they cleared house. They kind of needed to do that.
They did, and it's probably not fair to Roper or Luke or any of these guys, but I think Tennessee fans with the season we're coming off on expected to get a few more high-profile names. You know, it's the Ole Misses that were going after the Miami coaches, and, you know, we didn't really get any big shockers. So, you know, they all may turn out to be great coaches, but I think we're all a little let down and disappointed right now.
Well, you know, of course, I think Sanders, you know, with all those NFL offers that he had coming in, Kentucky, obviously, the better, you know, choice with the tradition that is your Wildcats of Kentucky. So, kind of fitting. I'm sure if he has any success up there, maybe he'll have a little bit of that Buzz Peterson bitter pill to swallow and say, hey, if they just let me do what I wanted to do, I could have shown, you know, everybody that I was a decent coach.
Yeah, but it's Kentucky, you know.
Yeah, who cares?
Yeah, he can hang out for 5 or 10 years and be a crappy coach and nobody will probably even notice, but, you know.
So I pick up the USA Today, and what do I see? But Foley, Florida AD, bitching about the Vols celebration on court. And, you know, it's one thing to get publicity about Tennessee's basketball season this year. We're obviously going to talk about this in today's show. But you know what? Shut your mouth, Foley. We just beat who would have been the number one ranked team in the nation. The guy, you know, this is a fan base who, number one, gets fired up by Bruce Pearl at the very beginning. You see the pictures. People are lined up outside.
Yeah, but you know what? That's all irrelevant. We're talking about the swamp here, where people overturn cars and throw cups of piss on people.
No, I'm not. Listen, I'm all for it. I'm glad they did it. They should have. It was an emotional win.
No, I know. But I'm saying, you know, he's complaining about us. Yeah. And the freaking swamp is one of the most vile places in the world.
I totally agree. You know, so what I got to say to you, Foley?
I wish you could just shut your big yapper.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, though, Donovan and the players handled it well. I mean, they were all, you know, didn't seem to think it was a big deal and understood. And I even read a quote today that one of the players had said, hey, we could have prevented it from happening by winning the game, and we didn't get it done. So, yeah. You know, at least the coach and the players are showing some class in the loss.
How about the fines? $5,000 for the first, $25,000 for the second.
That's the
50?
Big thing. Yeah, that's the big. Or is it $550 and $100?
No, it's $525, $550.
Was it?
Yeah. Regardless.
Well, that's why Pearl was on the radio saying, "Hey, you know, I'm okay with it happening one time, but it can't happen again this year."
Yeah, I heard somebody on the radio today said, "Well, you know, I'd throw a dollar in the pot, you know, as he's going out the door," and I'm like, "Yeah, but if they do it again, you know, that's a little bit more. You know, that's everybody in the entire arena choking up a dollar, and I don't think it's going
to
happen."
No, but you know, it'd be worth it. We may have to. Figure something out.
I know this is not YouTube sports related, and I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on it, but Kobe Bryant scores 81 points.
Who cares?
You know, that's funny that you say that, because right next to that I have who cares. Next, Lady Vols.
Yeah, he had what, 81 points and two assists.
Two assists, shot, what, 46 times, something like that? Anyway, I don't want to waste any more airtime on that.
You know, the NBA is just pathetic.
Yeah, another who cares. Lady Vols lose to Duke yesterday. Did you watch that game?
You know what? I watch bits and pieces of it. I usually will watch the Lady Vol games while I'm working on the computer doing some other things. But
when I'm taking a nap.
No, you know, I tell you what. I've watched a couple of games. I haven't watched a lot of games this year, but I watched some of the Duke game and I watched some of the UConn game. And I'm just not sure they're functioning as a team right now. It seems like a lot of individuals. They're not real sure about themselves and what they're doing. And, you know, I said it after the UConn game. I don't know. There's some problems somewhere with this team. I don't know if it's with – you know, leadership or what. But
yeah, but they're still number three. They're still good.
And they'll get it together. I mean, it's not the end of the world.
Yeah, and I guess the other thing is I watched a little bit of it, but, you know, you think Duke men's team gets some calls? I was quite surprised. I'm passionate about UT sports, but there's something to be said about, you know, bias in Cameron Indoor Stadium. It just makes me want to vomit.
Well, Coach Perlo agreed with you. He was at Texas Roadhouse last night saying what a crappy call that was. He said he didn't know if he could get in trouble for criticizing the women's officiating, but he did it anyway. So.
And last quick hit, UT Vols ranked 19th in one poll, 20th in the other. RPI, way up there. There's several RPI rankings. CBS Sportsline had us at number 3.
Yep. I think I saw one had us at 6 and maybe one had us at 9. What I heard an interesting comment this week, though, is that the NCAA in the first part of February is now going to release the official RPI that they use.
Why wouldn't they in the first place? I don't get that.
I don't know. You know, who knows?
Well,
or secretive.
Obviously, a lot of that has to do with, number one, they lost to, you know, a pretty tough opponent in LSU. They lost to Oklahoma State. They're not having a great season, but they're still a pretty decent team. And then you lose to Memphis. But I guess the biggest thing is that the teams that we've played in the past, and I've kind of been tracking a little bit of the scores coming in, you know, on the wire as you watch the games, and the teams that we've played are winning.
Are they?
So that's why our strength of schedule is up to 8th in the nation. And the Murray States are winning. Eastern Kentucky, I think, was winning. ETSU, you know, they're around there.
Well, the biggest factor is beating two, for all intents and purposes, top 5 teams. You know, have you looked at the new poll to see who's ranked is it third, fourth, and fifth, or second, third, and fourth? We've played all three of those teams.
Yeah.
We're 2-1.
Yeah.
Against the top 5 right now.
Yeah, and that plays a lot into NCAA tournament. You know, we're going to talk about basketball in a little bit, and we're probably going to hit recruiting here starting off, and then we'll go into basketball. But you go back and look. We're going to go back and look at that schedule win and loss, and if we take the wins where we are right now at 12-3, where are we going to end up? I think – right now, pretty much everybody is, you know, saying that we're going to make the NCAA tournament now. I don't think anybody expected us to be where we are right now. However, I've also seen, like on CBS Sportsline, Hattis is as the projected tournament seed is a number 4.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
Well, you know, you got to figure a 4 seed is a top 16 team.
Yeah.
You know, and that's not that unrealistic for us. You know, I think this team's going to drop some games down the stretch. You know, I'm fired up as the next guy, but I think that we're going to lose a few games down the stretch, probably a few games that the fans don't think we should lose. I think Mississippi State this week is a dangerous game. I think that, you know, I'm predicting us to go probably 5-7 in our last 12 games.
Well, okay, great.
But I still think with our RPI and as much pub as we're going to, I still think that's going to be just enough with probably one win in the tournament to get us in. So I hope I'm wrong, and I hope we go, you know, undefeated. But I definitely see some losses down the road. So we'll see. I mean, that may be a little out there. I'm not sure. I'm really looking at those game by game. But, you know, it's just like Coach Pearl said, every game we play, we've got a chance to lose. So
yeah. Well, if you look at, you know, just one of the last little quick hit is just on the SEC, because I think it's important to kind of see where Tennessee is from a standpoint of, you know, standings in the SEC. And that's, you know, I think we're in a good spot. You can pretty much say if we're going to be okay this year, it's probably a pretty good year to be okay, because the SEC's down. I mean, Kentucky, you know, they won tonight, I think, at Auburn. Auburn, really, they're 0-5 in the conference. In fact, they were 8-3 before they went into the conference. But Tennessee, by all rights, are they the best team in the conference right now? I mean, you know, the only other team with a better record is, well, LSU. Okay. But Florida, the highest ranked, and Tennessee beat them. So in the East, obviously, we got, you know, a good record and a tiebreaker. Any comments on that, Jay Hizzy?
Well, I mean, I agree that we sit atop the SEC East right now, but, you know, only thing that matters is where we are when it's all said and done, and I think it's going to still, we still got a tough road ahead.
Yeah. So, any other quick hits you got there, Hizzy?
No, I you're the quick hit man.
All right.
We could quick hit the Super Bowl coming up, but,
You know what?
I don't really care about that either.
I don't either.
So.
About the only thing I'm excited, and I'm a Dallas fan, you know that, I've said it on previous shows, I hate Pittsburgh. I mean, there's several teams that I hate in the NFL, but you got to feel good for old Cedric Wilson. You know, guy had 90 yards, a touchdown. In fact, he may be leading behind, well, he might be behind Steve Smith in receiving yards, but the kid is playing good. And I'm proud of that guy. I always thought he was one of my favorite receivers ever at the University of Tennessee. And you know, I think it's good that he's playing at, you know, at a top level. So why don't we take a break, and we'll get into a little bit of recruiting. We got Jay Hizzy over here is the recruiting guru, and
let's not get crazy now. We just got a few tidbits for you guys. We'll talk about it. I'd like to get some comments for next week, and you know, we're winding up the recruiting process. I'd like to get some call-ins about recruiting and how we're going to finish up in the last few days.
All right. Let's get involved, Larkin and Jay Hizzy. We'll be back in a minute.
I'm not interested in seeing how tired you are. Do you understand me? I'm not interested today in seeing how tired you are. You understand me? I might be interested to see your head in a bucket puking. That might interest me. Don't show me that weakness, Tennessee. Show me the swagger. Show me the toughness. Show me you got the guts to go on the road and play the fourth best team in Tennessee.
Bruce Pearl gets me fired up.
I'm telling you what. It's something. They got a lot of play this week.
I yeah, tell you what, that's he's getting run all over the country. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Dude is on fire.
That's good or bad?
I think it's a great thing. I mean, listen. If he ends up having the worst, you know, let's just say this is a fluke year, and he hadn't all that in the next few years. But you know what? It's going to be a fun ride this season. There's no doubt about that. Recruiting. It's coming down to the wire. Next Wednesday is it.
Winding down.
Yes, it is.
It's getting down to the nitty-gritty here. And, yeah, I think we're going to pull a few here at the end. But
well, Tennessee squeaks in here at the latest ranking at 21st,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, is that where Tennessee normally is? No. Do we have a lot of five-star and four-star commits? No. But we're still squeaking in there in the top 25, and I think we'll end up staying in there.
Well, we got, you know, I guess the Nick Stevens commit, you know, just came down, and you know, Chavis Horn, the quarterback, you know, how good this guy can be, we'll have to wait and see. But
obviously the star of the class right now is your Walter Fisher, defensive end, Coffeyville, Kansas, another one of those JUCO guys, right?
Yeah, and he's kind of been on board for a while. That's kind of a guy that we've, you know, placed, and now he's coming back with us. So,
well, you know, obviously our needs, you know, what are our big needs?
Well, we need at this point in time, I mean, what we got left on the board, we need to get an offensive lineman. I mean, I think we haven't left, you know, the Logan L kid committed to Penn State today.
Yep.
You know, probably had an outside shot at him, but it pretty much came down to Penn State and Maryland. So With left on the board with that, I think we really need to get it really puts a lot of emphasis on the Ramon Johnson kid. You know, he's a four star, he's a number 16 offensive guard in the country. It's really between us and Illinois. The Zucker recruiting him.
He could recruit.
You know, so it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. He was here not this past weekend, but the weekend before. So we'll see what happens. I think with him, I'd like to see Tennessee get Brandon Heath. He's coming in this upcoming weekend. He's a four-star. His interests are listed as Louisville, Tennessee, and West Virginia. Whether or not we can pull him. Obviously, Brandon Warren's still a huge. He's a five-star. It's between Tennessee and Florida State. Some people think we have a shot with Warren. I don't know. It's
what happens if we get him? Is he a five star?
Mm-hmm.
So we get him. Where does that put us? That jumps us up what, 10 spots maybe?
Because I don't know that high, but I'd have to look at the rankings.
Well, if you look at the rankings right now, in that top 20, you know, the Ole Miss has got 2 5-star guys. Ohio State's got 2 5-star. Florida State 2 5-star, and LSU 2. So, between that, everybody else has got 1 and 0.
Mm-hmm.
So, you're looking at probably moving up a few spots.
Could help some if we get him. Obviously, the Goggins kid is committed, but we got to hold on to him. He's been waffling a little bit. But he was at the Tennessee-Florida basketball game and actually was one of the kids who stormed the floor. So
really?
Got caught up in
that
it.
That doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt.
He's important. The a couple defensive tackles, the Mullins kid, he's a 3-star. I think we still got a good shot with him. Adam Patterson's he's one of the higher-rated players left on our board. He's a 4-star.
Okay.
Whether or not we can pull him, I don't know. Stephen Raines, Victor Thomas, there's a few guys left out there. So we'll see. I mean, if we can close with a few of these guys that, between now and next week, we could still pull up, potentially top 15 type class.
I saw one of the clips of that Nick Stevens fella throwing a few passes. Actually, I guess it may have been the state championship. They played at Dallas Cowboys, Irvin Stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's got a pretty – he has a kind of a funky release, but he does throw it on a rope. I find it interesting, though, some of these – if you go and you look at all these videos that are out there, the recruiting videos, and you got a quarterback and, you got 6 or 7 pretty good throws, and you got like 8 dump-offs to the running back. I'm thinking, why would you put that in your highlight reel?
Well, and I think the thing with him, it's another Sanders and Roper type comparison. It's kind of like we gave them Brent Schaefer and we got Nick Stevens. So
yeah, what about old Brent Schaefer?
We kind of got Ole Miss's hand-me-downs. I think that's a lot of people are probably not giving this kid a lot of credit just because he was committed to Ole Miss, and then after Schaefer committed there, he changed his mind and we got him. So
yeah, it's kind of funny about an Ole Miss fan called my dad yesterday. He was all fired up about getting Brent Schaefer, and you know what? I don't know. It'd be interesting to see if are we on Ole Miss schedule
no.
in the next few years. So, no. We probably won't get to see him, and I doubt they'll ever make it to the SEC championship.
No way.
But you're talking about offensive linemen. We've got 3, Jox McClendon and Darius Myers and Cody Pope. So, we've got 3 pretty decent looking. They're all about the size, and they're not too fat, I noticed. Not a lot of those guys. I just find it interesting. Is it Gerard or Jared Shaw?
Mm-hmm.
344 pounds as a defensive tackle.
He's a big kid.
And he runs a 5.1. I don't get it.
He's a big kid.
That's a big boy.
So, yeah, but we'll see. But I think I know Tennessee would definitely like to land the Johnson kid out of Illinois. But, we'll see. Like I said, it's going to be Tennessee and Illinois on him. But really, that's a lot, not a whole lot left out there. And I don't know, I haven't looked at the numbers to figure out how many we've got committed and exactly how many we're going to sign this year. But, it probably depends on who we get to, I'm sure.
Yeah, as we move forward in this, our little, as the year progresses and we move over into spring practice, Mapu's coming back. We've got DeMonte Bolden, who should, hopefully will flourish. You've got several redshirt guys and a couple of guys that didn't qualify last year that'll be in. Getting some prep school work in. So, does the future look bright for this Tennessee team?
Well, we've got talent over there. I'm not sure, only time will tell how much this class helps us. I mean, it looks like obviously we've, recruited, some tight ends, some tackles, some DBs. I don't see, just from looking, I don't see any, difference maker skill position type players on our current commit list. I mean, there's no, national receivers or running back or quarterback type guys that are that are difference makers that I see. You know, we got some definitely solid kids, and some of these guys could definitely turn into something. But
we probably need to get a couple more kickers.
We do. At least two or three more kickers would probably, you know.
Round out the class.
One of those guys, I forgot what his name was. Didn't one of those guys decommit to us and go to Kentucky or something because we didn't have a special teams coach? I forget. But
bummer.
Yeah, so we got two kickers left. It looks like Cunningham and Lincoln are the two kickers we got left. So
yeah.
It'll be interesting. I'm sure we'll pull a couple of, you know, surprises down the stretch of guys that'll strengthen some pretty good players. So, you know, probably 15 to 20 is probably where we'll end up, which, you know, not too bad considering. We've had years like that before. It's not the first time it's happened, so.
Yeah. Well, do you want to move over into the basketball? I would like to kind of get a firsthand experience since I wasn't at the game. I didn't even get to watch the game because I was on an airplane coming back from California. From not even opening kickoff, but in fact, I think it's pretty interesting. You go to utsports.com, they're starting to do the videos of the games, mm-hmm. and they're doing these picture montages, if you will, of the guys that are just hanging out the doors, you know, just waiting to get in. Pearl, you know, basically runs a lottery for a semester's tuition. You got the guys walking down the, you know, through the stands to get mm-hmm. to the floor. You know, give us the fans' perspective. Maybe some of the guys are listening out there. I know there's several guys all over the nation don't get a chance to go to Thompson Bowling Arena. Tell us about that, Jay Hizzy, and let us know. You know, I know you were fired up because I talked to you right after the game.
Well, it was. You know, I mean, I think the fact that it's the biggest crowd we've had there in about 15 years says what you need to hear. You know, and it was Pearl being a showman. You know, students were a big part of it. You know, Pearl did what he needed to do to go out and get some student interest and get them out at this game. So that was a huge part of it. But great atmosphere. It was loud. It was crazy. I think the fans definitely made a difference in the game. But, you know, the game itself, we didn't play all that well. I thought we actually played better in the Memphis game.
Okay. Well, if we didn't play that well, I heard Dr. Jerry Punch on the radio earlier this week saying that he thought that Florida played a pretty good game.
They did.
Was it were we getting the calls? Were we getting, you know, was there any glaring thing that it seemed like we had the advantage from a call standpoint?
Not particularly. It was really one of those guys. We probably got a few more of the inside over the back calls, in my opinion, than we did in the Memphis or LSU game. But it was just one of those games. It was kind of back and forth. It was always close. Florida never could quite pull away. You know, you keep looking up, and we were 2, 3, 4, 6 points down kind of the whole game. And but you know it was all Chris Lofton. I mean, you know the guy has 29 points, and for all intents and purposes, you know, I think he had 18 in the first half. I mean we're down 10-15 points if it's not for Lofton hitting some of the shots he hits in that first half.
Did it seem like he was throwing up an inordinate amount of like off balance shots?
No, you know, I don't think inordinate amount of off balance shots. I mean, we've seen, you know, Chris Lofton. I mean, he's a shooter. He's going to shoot from way downtown. You know, he takes some shots that normally aren't good shots for other players. But
did Florida not come into this game being the number one rebounding team in the SEC?
That I don't know. We can look that up.
If it's not the number one, I know they were up at the top. We ended up out rebounding them by 40-35.
They were number 5.
Oh, okay.
Averaging 36 a game. We were number 10, averaging 33 a game.
Ouch.
So we did. You know, I tell you what, it was interesting too that Corey Brewer,
not that big though.
Corey Brewer came out and really gave us a lot of trouble in that game earlier. And then he rolled his ankle, you know, and you don't want to see a kid get hurt, but it probably helped us some because that kid is. I hadn't had a chance to see him play a whole lot, but he impressed me. I mean, that guy's got an NBA type body with the size, can handle the ball, can shoot, can take it to the basket. I mean, he really is a player.
Mm-hmm. Still forced turn. Well, still not forced necessarily, but 19 turnovers to 13. You know, I think that's one glaring advantage this team has. I mean, we do have ball handlers. We don't turn the ball over. We don't give up opportunities to the other team, and I think that really helps.
Looking back, Clark, I don't know how we won this game. I mean, you know, Chris Lofton's 29 points, and like you mentioned, the rebound.
Well,
you know, Patterson played a pretty good game.
That's what I was getting ready to say. Patterson, I think, is kind of a catalyst. If he has a really good game, and combined with, you know, Watson or Lofton having a really good game, you get that inside presence with some of those rebounds. I mean, he ended up having, you know, 4 offensive rebounds, 10 total, ended up having with a double-double. I think that's one of the reasons.
And we've had a lot of games this year that we've gotten help from Juwan Smith, Dane Bradshaw, C.J. Watson. And those guys didn't play bad by any means, but they didn't have, you know, none of those guys had a game to where they really helped us a whole lot. I mean, they obviously did the little things and played hard, but none of them scoring wise really helped us a whole lot. So that's what keeps amazing me about this team. You know, how do they keep putting up the numbers, and you know, how are we second in the SEC in scoring offense?
Yeah, you just made a point a little bit ago offline. We were talking about what Florida was giving up from a standpoint of points per game, 62, 63, somewhere around there.
We ended 62 up, points, according to, SECSports.com, 62 points a game. They're averaging 83.8. They actually lead the conference. We're second with 83.3. But, yeah, so, I mean, for what we did is pretty amazing. And,
yeah.
You know, and Florida was, you know, apparently going down the stretch in the second half of that game, we're pretty happy about how they had played that game. So.
Yeah.
You know, that Noah kid is a big kid, too, the ponytail guy.
Yeah. Okay.
Big mop on the back of his head, whatever. I don't know what that is, ponytail, whatever it is.
Now, obviously, we don't want to beat this in the ground, because if any ball fan, I'm sure, has heard all the interviews, you know, looked up, you know, Pearl and this team are getting a ton of national exposure, moving into the top 25. I guess I thought maybe they'd move into 25th or 24th place and moving up to 19th or 20th. But what I did want to do is go back, and I told you guys we were going to look at the schedule. You know, as we started out, we went 16-13 as our predicted record for the season. Well, we're already at 12-3. You know, I mean, I don't think we're going to go 4-10 the rest of the season. You said 5-7 just a little bit ago. Of course, actually, you got to look at that as 6-8 with the tournament, because I still think we're going to win at least one tournament game. So we're at 12-3 at Mississippi State.
And we could. There's not a game left besides maybe at Gainesville that I'm giving us an automatic loss. We could win,
but there's no automatic win either,
right?
Because you don't know how good Vanderbilt is. And you know what? I think beating Georgia was a good win, because I think they're a pretty good team.
Well, they're going to be tough at their place.
Of course, at Kentucky, but if we were just to go where we are, 12-3 right now, and then look and see how we had predicted, we go 12, you know, I had us at a loss at Mississippi State, which, mm-hmm. you know what, I think we've got a good shot at beating those guys. You know, their leading scorer is a freshman in Jamont Gordon, who by all rights should be here, and their second leading rebounder, I think, is a freshman, a true freshman.
Well, I think they've lost about four games in a row, so they're definitely, you know, a beatable
team.
Yes, they have. You know, it's just, you just don't know how this team's going to, you know, big game at Florida, you know, big week with LSU, Memphis, and Florida. How are we going to react coming off that? And I'm not sure how healthy we are right now. You know, C.J. Watson's got the shoulder problem.
That.
Dane Bradshaw's got the wrist problem. And I'm not sure either one of those two guys is, 100% right now. So while on paper, we should beat those guys, but, you know.
Well, if you look at what we had predicted at the very beginning, or at least when we started the show, I look at six more wins plus one in the tournament. That's seven. That puts us at 19-9. That gets us in.
Mm-hmm.
That gets us in.
Let's
Do you have any doubt? I want to know right now, Jay Hizzy, are we in the tournament?
I think so. I think with our RPI where it is right now, it's going to be hard. If we can finish up 8-8 in the conference, you know, if we can win, basically, I think that's our magic number. That's probably why I picked it. I think we've got to have
18.
I think we've got to have 18 regular season wins. I think we need five more wins.
If we go 18-10 rather than 19-9, we're still looking at wins over two top five teams. We're looking at decent wins. And you know what? I think the Kentucky game is here, most certainly, is a game that's winnable, because for some reason Kentucky's just not playing good. Chad Sparks, I mean, the guy that could not miss last year, is it Chad Sparks?
I don't think his name's Chad, but it is Sparks.
Sparks, you know, the guy that doesn't have a neck.
Is, yeah.
You know, he looks like he just fell out of the back of a turnip truck. But
the bad thing about that game is it would have been nice to have had that game earlier when they're struggling, because I'm not convinced that Kentucky's, you know, that's our last home game of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just not sure.
Oh, yeah, last home game,
yeah.
Not last game.
No, last home game. So I'm just not sure by that point. You just don't know, you know, Kentucky, Tubby's a good coach. You know, by then they may have their act together and be building momentum for the tournament. So who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Well, you know, so what do you see? 19-9, 18-10, I think that's certainly doable. I think we're in the NCAA tournament, and of course, you know, that means we're going to lose a few games down the stretch.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I keep saying, that RPI is going to help us a lot. I mean, I just don't think, you know, it's going to be hard for us to fall that far in RPI. And if we keep winning a few games, it's, you know, we're not going to fall that far. And it's going to be hard to avoid us with the national exposure we've gotten, and with the RPI as high as it is, I think we're in. So we'll wait and see.
All right. Well, let's take a little bit of a break here.
All right.
And then we're going to briefly go in and look at the Mississippi State game coming up tomorrow night at Mississippi State. Look at a little bit of the matchups there.
No TV coverage for that, is there? I don't think that I could find. So,
well, you don't need TV when you
I know we got Bob and Bert.
If you got Boob and Bert, you're good.
We'll see what happens. All right, guys, we'll be right back.
All right, Larkin,
Jay Hizzy,
get involved. We're back for the last segment.
Getting involved, Larkin and Jay Hizzy, after a long hiatus trying to get our groove back on. It's going a little slow tonight. We realize that.
Yeah, a little bit.
Going to try to get some more stuff started on the board and get back to the call-ins. Have Patrick back on the show next week.
Yep.
Get back to some of the things. Just wanted to kind of do a show tonight to let everybody know we were back.
Of course, we'll have a good little segment on recruiting. It'll be the day before signing day. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if we can get some call-ins for that show, it'd be nice, and get some guys to throw in. We'll try to throw out a couple of threads out there so you guys can get involved.
I saw where we're talking about during the break. I saw where Doug Dickey attended his first Tennessee home basketball game this week. I thought that was interesting.
What, the guy who basically destroyed Tennessee basketball for however many years?
The guy who tried to run into the ground. He thought it was interesting. He made the Florida game his first game that he attended. So I guess I wonder if he was wearing Gator orange or Tennessee orange.
Probably a combination of the two. Of course, the old guard for Tennessee thinks, that he's the biggest traitor that ever walked the face of the earth, even though he did end up coming here and retiring here, going to Florida, being the coach there, he was athletic director there, right? Was he ever athletic director there?
I don't know. I think he was a coach. I don't think he was athletic director, but.
And how long ago was the 2005 Tennessee football season? That seems like years ago.
I think it's because it was so traumatic, we try to put it out of our mind. We don't want to think about it anymore.
I also going back at the looking at the message board and seeing some of the posts. There wasn't a whole lot of excitement I noticed about the Tennessee basketball season starting off. I think everybody was pretty fired up about Bruce Pearl coming in and what to expect. But I don't think anybody was as fired up as everybody is now.
No, we were talking. The word was if this team goes 500 and makes the NIT, that was a huge success.
Yeah, if anybody didn't catch the thread, OrangeTD88 throws up, make sure you chop the wood before leaving the house. If anybody hasn't caught that thread on Vol Nation, you better check it out. It's quite funny.
It's very interesting.
Always good for commentary of the Vol Nation faithful.
It is. I was looking back over, we were looking back to what was going on in Vol Nation a year ago, and not a whole lot of basketball talk. Definitely we were excited about recruiting this time last year. We had that, top class that we were working on. But as far as basketball, Lady in Orange started a thread that was a pep rally for the UT-Kentucky game, even though we have no chance to win. So, very few posts about basketball last year.
Well, what's going to take us to get to 13-3 there, Jay Hizzy? We've got Mississippi State on the road, always tough to win on the road, regardless of Mississippi State is 1-4 in the SEC. They haven't played well. They end up losing a guy over the last couple of weeks who's no longer with the team. And, of course, you had Jamont Gordon there as a freshman leading all scorers for Mississippi State. His line per game is 13-2, 6.4 rebounds, and 3.9 assists. I mean, this guy obviously is a player, but he is a freshman, prone to make freshman mistakes. And I think they're and they got that huge 7'2 guy out of Gallatin, Tennessee, mm-hmm. Wesley Morgan.
7'2, 240 senior, yeah. So, I mean, they got some size. I mean, 7'2 center, 6'8 forward, and they play three guards at 6'3, 5'9, and 6'4. So it'll be an interesting game. I mean, it's definitely a game on paper that Tennessee should win. But
well, they're obviously down. I mean, they're in a rebuilding year. I don't think there's any doubt that Stansberry is a good coach. He's in his eighth year. The guy's coached some good basketball teams, taking them to the. In fact, they made the Elite Eight not too long ago. This team is pretty good. Pretty good team, regardless of where you play, and on the road, it's going to be tough. Who, in your opinion, is so goes who, so goes the Tennessee basketball team. Earlier on this season, you and I agreed that it was C.J. Watson. Who is it now?
Well, Watson's important, but, I mean, after the Florida game, it was definitely all Chris Lofton. So, I mean, if you look at, you know, what he did in LSU and Memphis, which wasn't a whole lot, you know, maybe Chris Lofton.
I started a thread after that LSU game, and I said that Lofton's 2 points was the difference in that game. If he's averaging 16.5 points per game and he only scores two, we lost by 14 at LSU. Mm-hmm. You know, so, you know, I think we're in agreement as well. If Lofton has an off night, I don't think there's enough scorers on our team to, you know, to justify, you know, saying that, you know, he's not the leader of this team. I mean, you got to think.
Well, I think when he doesn't have a good game, you got to have a couple of guys step up to fill his shoes. I mean, you got to have a, you know, a Major Wingate and maybe a Juwan Smith or Dane Bradshaw or, you know, a couple other guys really got to step up and score some points.
Well, Dane Bradshaw was a guy that he ended up having an incredible game, you know, with the 20 points, 10 rebounds or something like that. I mean, the guy was on fire. But then again, you know, we still end up losing the game. He's a scrapper.
He is. He had a lot to prove in that game, so he was pretty pumped.
So what do you – give us a prediction. What do you think is going to happen tomorrow night?
Well, I mean, I'd like to think that Pearl's going to have the guys motivated and Tennessee wins by, you know, 12, 13, 14 points. I mean, Mississippi State's a team, they're only averaging 69 points a game. You know, we're averaging 83. You know, they don't shoot the ball as well as we do. You know, they don't shoot the three particularly well, nearly as well as we do. You know, not a huge dominating rebound team. I mean, they average out-rebounding us, but nothing great. You know, they don't get a ton of assists. They turn the ball over 18 times. I mean, like I said, on paper, you know, this team's 1-4 in the SEC, and it should be a game that we can win.
Let's see if we get.
Yeah, it's real important. And if you're not in range, you know, you're going to be in trouble. Obviously, it gets the home crowd into it, and it gives an opponent confidence to play at a higher level and let their crowd energize them. I don't think we'll be disrupted by the crowd. I think, and I don't think we'll be disrupted by our own success to this point. Mississippi State's been to four NCAA tournaments in the last 4 years, and they've had four 20-win seasons, and that's uncharted territory for our basketball team. We're trying to get to where they are, but it would be important. They're so athletic. I mean, they made LSU at times look like the least athletic team out there when they played against them. They out-rebounded LSU. They out-rebounded a team that I don't know how many LSU get us by 18. They out-rebounded LSU by, I don't know what the number is, but I think that's been their weakness, their assist turnover ratio, and I would think that would be an opponent where our pressure is going to have to be a factor in order for us to win.
There's Pearl talking about the pressure that he thinks, you know, of course, we've always done that. The pressure defense, getting the trap, and that's obviously going to be the key to this game. I think Pearl makes a couple of good points there.
Well, and he's always trying to sell up the opponent. You know, obviously he's not talking about how they just lost to Vanderbilt by 28, but, you know, they beat Arkansas. You know, they've been coming up and down team, and they're struggling right now.
So. Well, you know, here they go. They got a 28-point loss. Over the last four games, which are all SEC games.
Yeah, and all losses.
You know, they're averaging less than 50 points per game. And, you know, you predict this game tomorrow being, you know, maybe a 13-14-point win. If we can keep them scoring low, we're going to get our shots in. There's no doubt about mm-hmm. that. And these guys shoot themselves out of the slump. You know, but he makes a good point. Are we going to let the crowd get into the game? And if they do, does that energize Mississippi State to keep it close? And, you know, probably.
It's amazing reading off the UT Sports site that these guys last year had the longest winning streak in the country. Tennessee ended the nation's longest road winning streak with a 64-63 victory over the 11th-ranked Bulldogs January 12, 2005 at Thompson Bowling. So, kind of interesting. They've kind of fallen this year quite a bit.
Yeah. Of course, you know, so, and then you've got the South Carolina game coming up on Saturday. I think that's going to be a huge game. South Carolina, I thought they were going to be a little bit better than what they are. They're not doing too well.
No, I mean, they've had some tough losses too, but you know, again, it took us hitting 10 of 13 from three-point range to pull that game out. So it's, I expect that to be a tough game. They always seem to play us well.
So, by the end of the week...
They almost beat Kentucky. I mean, for all intents and purposes, should have. At Rupp.
If we're 14-3 by the end of this week, we're going to be in a good spot.
We're in a good spot now.
And they host... South Carolina could end up having another loss. They're playing... they're playing Florida tomorrow.
Yeah, in Columbia. So JP game, 8 o'clock.
Yeah, so... You know, certainly want to try to obviously bring that intensity, try to get everybody going to the game on Saturday. I think it could be another big crowd. You're saying that it was a sellout again?
You know, I haven't seen that from anybody official. I saw somebody mention that today, but I haven't been able to verify if that's official or not. That really would surprise me if the South Carolina game was sold out.
Yeah. Well, anything from the land of Vol Nation you want to talk about?
Nothing else I think of. Just we're going to try to get some call-ins. I don't even remember the call-in number.
Yeah, we'll get that to you guys.
we'll post that to try to get some more call-ins and get some things going. I think it was a lot of fun. We got some calls from you guys that we got to play on the show, so we'll try to get back to that next week, have Patrick back on the show, and try to get things back up.
And once we get the technical things worked out with the calls, we'll guarantee we get you on the radio. You call in.
That's right.
All right? Radio, podcast, whatever, you know. So
that's it, guys. But stay tuned next week. You know, like I said, a lot of big will be leading up to recruiting. Be the night before the next Tennessee home game after South Carolina. I don't know who that is.
That would be your...
Is that Vanderbilt?
That would be your Vanderbilt Commodores.
Yeah, so nice three-game home stretch. You know, we beat Mississippi State. We got three straight games at home that we... You know, could very easily win. I mean, it's not unthinkable to think that we could be sitting at 16-3.
Yeah, and Mississippi, you know, there's another team I thought was going to be in the dumper, and they're playing pretty well. But then
we could be 16-3 heading to Rupp.
If we put a four-game win streak together, the next home game, which will be Auburn at home.
Do you think that we could have like half orange in Rupp? And it's usually half blue down here. Do you think we could get half orange in Rupp?
No way. No way.
How about a quarter, 25% orange?
You're gonna have to get a few more seasons under your belt to.
They lose a couple more games. Those, you know, may not show up. We buy up all the extra tickets.
No way.
You never know.
No way. No way.
You never know. You heard it here first. We can start something.
There we go. Hey, Izzy, good to see you back.
Yep. Been too long.
Yeah, it's been too long. Hopefully, we won't have another break like we had. But we're gonna try to do this every week and. Get you involved. This is Larkin.
Jay Hizzy. See you next week.
All righty.